Well, we're not expecting anything too dramatic from the Chancellor in tomorrow's budget. When we spoke to Business Secretary Vince Cable last week, he expressed doubt there'd be any major giveaways from Mr. Osborne, but it would be a surprise if there wasn't something in the budget for business. Let's now talk to Shadow Business Secretary Chuka Amuna. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good stuff. Many in the business community have called for more help from the Chancellor to help businesses, particularly SMEs, perhaps a simplification of the tax system or lower business rates. What sort of help would Labour give to SMEs?
Well, we're clear it's not enough just simply to re-announce a review into business rates. What small businesses in particular want is some action, and that's why we will cut business rates in the coming financial year for business premises with a rateable value up to £50,000, and then we will freeze them in the financial year after that. That's real help immediately from a Labour government if we're elected. Secondly, we've got to make sure there's more support out there for people who want to start up their businesses, and that's why we will be establishing a UK equivalent of the US Small Business Administration, which is something that the Federation of Small Businesses has called for all the political parties to commit to. We're the only political party which has said we will set up a UK Small Business Administration to support our small businesses if we are elected on May the 7th. And we've also got to make sure that people have individuals with the right skills coming to their businesses. And too often people tell me when they're trying to recruit people that they find that people, even graduates, don't have the basics. And that's why we're going to ensure that young people learn English and maths all the way through to 18, so they have those basic literacy and numeracy skills that our businesses need. And of course, above all, we're an open trading nation. Historically, that's why we've punched above our weight in the world. And the best vehicle through which we can increase our exports and help our small businesses to export is the European Union, in my view. It's our nearest and biggest market, and also the trade agreements we benefit from through our membership of the European Union act as the key that unlocks the door to the emerging market economies. And we're very clear we want the UK to stay in, and we'll work to reform the European Union to make it work even better for businesses and lead the charge on reform in Europe, as opposed to sitting on the sidelines, as we've seen too often under this government.
Okay, your opposite number, Mr. Cable, has expressed regret there hasn't been more investment in big infrastructure projects. In fact, it would seem he's actually at loggerheads with George Osborne about this subject. I'm sure you'd agree with Vince Cable that more investment should be going into these big projects.
Well, we have a good record in government for helping to see infrastructure projects delivered. Crossrail is perhaps the biggest example of that. That's currently Europe's biggest infrastructure project that was instigated by the last Labour government. We actually think one of the biggest things we need to do in delivering infrastructure, and one word is a great example of this, Heathrow. We need to take the party politics out of some of the decision-making that goes on around these projects, which can often go on over different parliaments, under different governments. And that's why we will set up an independent infrastructure commission to help government reach decisions on these matters. But investment's important, and that's why, in principle, we believe in HS2 being delivered, because, you know, unless we have a good infrastructure, it's hard to do business in our country.
I want to ask you about apprenticeships. Last week, when we spoke to Mr. Cable, he spent some time highlighting what he regarded as the coalition's success with apprenticeships. The government says 2 million have been started in this parliament. That is quite an impressive figure, isn't it?
I think the problem with the government's claims on apprenticeships is that they are more interested in the numbers than they are in making sure that we have good quality apprenticeships. And there's a bit of smoke and mirrors that we see happening with their numbers. So although they claim that they've overseen 2 million new apprenticeship starts during their time in office, what they don't tell you is that nearly 4 in 10 of the employers who they deem, the government deems, as providing apprenticeships, don't believe that the training that they provide qualifies to be called an apprenticeship. We've also got a situation when you look at a lot of the additional apprenticeship places have come for people in the age category 25 and above. 93% of those people are doing apprenticeships with their existing employer. These simple facts, and I could give more, really do call into question these claims that are made on apprenticeships. And we're clear, we want to boost the numbers of apprenticeships. We'll use procurement to do that. We think, for example, on HS2, you could get at least an additional 30,000 extra apprenticeships if you require the people taking on those big contracts to provide apprenticeships. But it's also about ensuring that we've got apprenticeships of good quality, and we want to move more towards German standards, where all apprenticeships under a Labour government will be at what is level 3 or above. That's kind of A-level equivalent or above, so that we maintain the integrity of the brand. If we want to have parity of esteem between academic qualifications like degrees and apprenticeships, then we've got to make sure that we safeguard the quality that comes with the apprenticeship brand and label.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the last few weeks, your party, particularly your leader, has been at the receiving end of quite a bit of criticism for being so-called anti-business. How can you prevent that message sticking in the minds of those in the business community, some of whom have already been very critical of Ed Miliband already?
Well, I don't accept the characterisation of how the leader of the Labour Party has been described. Of course you will get Conservative supporting peers who carry the Conservative whip, like Stuart Rose, criticising the Labour Party and its leader. Mm-hmm. And if you look at somebody like Stuart Rose, I have a huge amount of respect for him, but when he was at Marks and Spencer's, he wasn't going around encouraging people to buy their goods from House of Fraser. In the same way, as since he's crossed the floor from business into politics, I wouldn't expect somebody like him as a Conservative peer to be going around telling everybody to vote Labour. And I could cite other Conservative supporting business people who've been out and vocal. But to be honest, I'm more interested in the hidden people who aren't always celebrated but make a massive contribution to our economy and are really important figures in business, not just in London and the South East, but in every single region of our country. And it's their voice which we need to make sure gets heard over the course of the next few weeks during this really important general election campaign.
But you have to admit, I mean, Tony Blair often noted that you have to have business on side if you're going to win an election. And so far, it's not gone as well as you'd hoped.
Well, look, we can all cite our business supporters. And, you know, one who may be known to Jazz FM is Sir Charles Allen, now Lord Allen, who is the chairman of Global Radio, the biggest commercial radio broadcaster in the country. I could cite others. We're interested in getting everybody's support at the end of the day, whether you're a business or you're not a business, in all different parts of the country. Conservative supporting business people and Conservative supporting newspapers will try and characterise our business support in one way or the other. That's to be expected. But I'm interested in making sure that, like I said, the people who aren't always put on a pedestal but make a massive contribution to our economy, I want to make sure they get a look in this general election campaign.
Mm. The so-called Google tax is certainly going to be a vote winner in the election, and we're expecting something from the Chancellor on Wednesday to prevent the multinationals from shifting those profits. Isn't he stealing your thunder a bit there?
I don't think he's stealing anybody's thunder. I think it's quite refreshing when there is consensus in British politics. I think it's too tribal, it's too adversarial. I think we all want to see avoidance reduced, and we all want to see people paying their fair share. And if he has some good announcements to make on that, it would be a bit retrograde, I think, to start slamming them. But let's see what he's got to say on that first. I mean, look, ultimately, you've got to make sure not only that you get the law right, you've got to make sure that you work with your international partners to stop different jurisdictions being played off against each other. You compromise your ability to do that when you adopt a very negative approach in how we work with our European partners, for example. And also, we've got to make sure that HMRC has got the right resources to be able to clamp down on these things. So there's not one magic bullet in terms of making sure people pay their fair share. But, you know, if there's consensus that we can build around these things, well, good. I think that's a good thing.
Indeed, it certainly would be a vote winner. Final question, actually, again, about the relationship between business and what people think about the relationship between the Labour Party and business. Is it more of an image problem with Ed Miliband? You've been trawling the country, as has Ed Balls, over the last few years, trying to get together with business and proving, as did Tony Blair, that actually you can be a friend of business. Is it an image thing or is it policy?
I don't think it's either of those things, actually. I mean, all I can say in respect of Ed is the biggest and most important political decision that he's made in respect of business since he became the leader of the Labour Party is not to try and out UKIP on these issues, not to go and make promises that he cannot keep, not to commit and match, which everybody, lots of people were saying he would feel compelled for political reasons to match David Cameron's commitment to have an arbitrary referendum at the arbitrary date of 2017. But he's actually been pretty and absolutely clear that we want to keep the UK in the European Union, and we would only have a in-out referendum if there was a proposal in the future to transfer further powers to Brussels, which I think is most unlikely. That was a really difficult political decision, but he made the decision to adopt the position we have, not just because he thought it was the right thing for our country, but because it's the right thing for the people that we're looking to grow our economy, and that's our businesses.
Okay, Chuka Emunah, thank you very much indeed.